hear the word of God. I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other cheek too as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Pause. I want you to count how many questions are asked in this passage of Scripture. Let's go back. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those for whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies. Do good. Lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way the children of the Most High act, for He is kind to ungrateful people, ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Given, it will be given back to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion that you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I was considering this passage of Scripture and the theme, question of people, I was trying to think of some ways in which we could introduce that whole idea of asking questions. And so I came across this video. It's called Chuck Knows Church. Chuck is a pastor, United Methodist pastor, who answers all the questions that nobody asks. Well, not really. He answers questions like, well, like this. Like, what's the meaning of amen?
Just a short prayer before we get started. Always a good thing, right? I know I can certainly use the help. Punctuated with an amen. Amen. Why do we say that? It's curious, isn't it? I mean, we say it all the time. Amen. At the end of the prayer, or as an exclamation. Amen to that. Why? And what does it mean? And where did it come from? Those are some questions it sounds like we can answer on this episode of Chuck Knows Church. Dates back even further than any biblical text that we have. Wow.
the word is always that. You think they all get on the same page as far as the pronunciation goes, right? Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter. And did you notice, seemingly all of a sudden, the United Methodist Church dropped the amen from the end of its hymns in the United Methodist hymnal. What's up with that? Well, I'll tell you what's up with that. In 1989, it was decided it was time to return to the more historic Methodist and Christian practice of hymn singing, which did not include amen at the end of hymns. Yep, they were just added to the original hymns and not by the original hymn writer. Kind of like if you keep all those old-fashioned clothes in your closet long enough, eventually they're going to come back to the style, right? I actually still have the members on the jacket, and when you lean out, it is going to be rad again. Yeah. By the way, rad is going to be rad again, too. So the next time you say amen, it is just like saying yes, or I totally agree, or totally rad, dude. Like generations, stretching back thousands of years before, stretching all cultures and religions, a physical, spiritual connection across time and space from just four little letters. Again, amen to that. If you'd like to learn more, don't forget to ask your pastor. Tell them to check section.
Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Well, today we're going to be asking some questions and considering what it is to ask questions. And so, I want you to pull this out if you have yours with you. Here is your first invitation to use your smartphone in church. What I mean by that is that you can text your questions to Lisa during this. Hopefully the questions will refer to my message, but if you just have questions, you text them there, and you go to www.slido.com, and you enter in 1525, and you can type in your question. At the end of my message, we're going to go through some of those questions. Maybe we'll answer some of them that can be answered at that moment. I will certainly invite any of you that if you have a question that goes beyond or begs more than just a simple 30-second answer, call me. Call Pastor Benny. After Wednesday, okay, or Pastor Lisa, and we will be in dialogue with you, conversation. And the last thing that I want you to know is that these questions we'll take to our staff meeting and discuss them and see if there are other venues through which we might address them. But so this is your permission that I give you. To ask those questions, I pray that the Lord lets your phone run out of battery if you start surfing the web or texting your neighbor or whatever. No, I shouldn't have said that. That's forgive me, Lord. You understand that when it comes into the sermon or and the passage that we read today. But think about this questions. What questions do we have? Yesterday, how many were here for the day of gathering? Okay. Here, would the rest of us just give them a It was a phenomenal day in which God's love was tangibly acted out and expressed and shown. When Jesus asked First Church, do you love me? We can answer, yes, Lord. When Jesus asks the church, will you love one another? We can say, yes, Lord, we will do it through the day of pampering. The speaker there was a gal who had a child. I think Anna Lee was her name. She was maybe 7 years old or thereabouts. The day that Anna Lee was born, She was born with great physical challenges. And as she was born with great physical challenges, her mom began immediately to ask questions. God, why did you allow this to happen? What am I to do with the future? What is Anna Lee going to do growing up? How is she going to cope? These are hard questions, not just questions of information, but questions that have her heart connected. Some of you out there may be asking those similar questions today. Questions that go beyond information, but questions that reach down into the very depth of our soul. Maybe a question you've been carrying with you for ages. Going back to a time when something happened, something occurred in your life, and it just rocked your foundation. You've been carrying that question over and over for extended periods of time. I would tell you, I'm not here to give you short answers. Because for those deep questions, the answers come oftentimes in a progression. Because the answers have to reach down into the depths of where we find ourselves, where we live in life. Maybe we're thinking about our future and think, Lord, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do with the rest of my life? Where am I going to find significance? Where am I going to find purpose? It's a discovery. But again, these are questions. See, one person said this. He said, the questions you ask determine how you live. The questions you ask determine how you live. If they're questions of doubt, you may live your life with lots of doubt in that. If there are questions for information, you may live your life up in your head all the time and never touching your heart. If you choose not to ask questions, you may just remain stuck where you are. So let's look at this passage of Scripture, and I would say there's maybe three different crowds in this Scripture. The first crowd is this. The crowd that is not willing to listen does not ask any questions. Look at this verse, Luke 6:27. What I say to you who are willing to hear. And I read that verse and I thought, well, if there are people who are willing to hear, then there are people who are not willing to hear. There are people out there who are not really willing to listen. There are people there who you might think are asking a question, but they're not really asking a question. Let's talk about that. Look at with me at this next passage in Luke chapter 20. The legal experts and the chief priests, they wanted to trap Jesus. So they asked him. They were question askers. Teacher, we know that you are correct in what you say and teach. They're buttering him up. But teach God's way as it really is. They're setting him up. Does the law allow people to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They spring the trap. See, they didn't really care about paying taxes to Caesar. They didn't care whether or not the government was going to get its, quote, fair share. They were looking for a way to trap Jesus. Have you ever been in a place where you have felt that you have no options? Have you ever had been posed a question where the question comes to you and if there were options out there, none of them were good? Like a catch-22 situation. I mean, you're between a rock and a hard place. And if you answer one way, things are not good. And if you answer another way, things are not good. Well, I want to let you know that just as they tried to trap Jesus, and if you feel that you are at that point in your life where you are trapped in a catch-22 situation, God does provide a way out. God provides a way out that when we wrestle with the questions of life, when we wrestle with the rubber meets the road, God has promised to lead us and guide us. And you can read the rest of that passage of scripture and find out how Jesus sprung the trap, how he turned it back onto them. But questions are sometimes asked not really wanting to have answers given. There's another crowd that's the crowd that is willing to listen, but they need to hear the whole message of Jesus. Again, we go back to that verse. But I say to you who are willing to hear. So here's the crowd. They're willing to hear. They're willing to listen to Jesus. But he needs them to enlarge their perspective. He needs them to take in the whole message, not just portions of it. He goes on and says, but I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I came across this poster that says this, love one another. And isn't that something that we teach all the time in the church? Jesus says, bottom line, we are to love one another. Sounds rather simple, doesn't it? But what does that love really mean? I was traveling down Route 81 towards Allentown area and saw this billboard. It said this, real Christians love their enemies. When was the last time you took that into your brain and thought, when somebody came and presented themselves as an enemy, when was the last time your perspective was, I gotta love my enemies? You know? It's one of the things that makes Christianity unique. We're not only to love God, we're not only to love those who love us, we're called to love our enemies. To enlarge our perspective of how we hear and listen to all that God says. Jesus continues on. He says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. He goes on in verse 30, give to everyone who asks and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. Do you really mean that? That's a tough question. Do you really mean that I'm supposed to give to everyone who asks of me? And then don't demand them back? Honey, here's my wallet. So just in case some of the youth come through the line and they're starting to ask questions. So it's probably the finance man. He was at the first service anyway. Look with me at what often happens. We cross out the verse that says, treat people the way you want to be treated, and we rewrite it. Treat people the way they treat you. So, I need to treat that person the way they treat me. Have you ever gotten into an argument? Or, I should say this. Have you ever had a disagreement with someone? And you're like, both here at this level, and you start disagreeing, and so one person raises their voice a little like this, and then you raise your voice, and then you're disagreeing, and they raise their voice, and pretty soon you're throwing things at each other, and it just blows out of you don't want to throw things at each other, do you? It's, you're treating people the way you treat, they treat you. But we're really called on and asked to express our love in Jesus Christ by treating others the way we want to be treated. We don't have to wait to see how they treat us. We treat them with respect. We treat them with dignity. We treat others with courage, with compassion. I'll tell more about that later. Then there's this third crowd. So we have the crowd that was not listening or didn't really ask questions. They just wanted to, I guess, put up a buffer zone, a defense mechanism. The second crowd is they asked questions, but they needed to hear more. This third crowd is this. It's the crowd that has, they've already listened. They already are convinced about Jesus Christ. These are the ones who have said yes to Jesus, but they need to grow. They need to grow. This passage here talks about what I think is Colossians 1:10. And would you read that with me as we says, we're praying this so that you can live lives that are worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him in every way, by producing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. There is a need to grow in Jesus Christ. Just as there is a need for us to grow as human beings, to physically grow as a human being. And that's something to be expected, isn't it? None of us look like what we did 5 years ago. But we grow, we change, we mature. So do we do the same changing, maturing, growing as Christians. And so the way that we do that is by asking some questions. The first question I want to ask you is this, is the first perspective. And that says this. What makes you different than or sets you apart from sinners? What makes you different than or sets you apart from sinners? Because we're called to be a unique, called out people of God, followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 32. In this passage, if you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. Or the next verse, if you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. Or verse 34, if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. There is a sense in which we live other than those around us. And sometimes we get stuck in our lives as we're living our lives and saying, well, I'm as good as, or I'm not as bad as this next person beside us. But what we're called to do is to be more than that. To be more than those around us. How do we do that? Become more than? Well, I would say it's this. Instead of using each other to compare yourself with, or me to compare myself with, then we need to compare ourselves to God. We need to use Jesus as our measuring stick, as our model. To see Jesus as the one in which we make our lives and bring our lives into conformity with Him. Here in verse 35, I'd like you to read this with me. It says this, instead, love your enemies, do good, lend expecting nothing in return, And if you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked people. We are going to be acting the way that the children of the Most High act. I'm going to talk to the adults a little bit. In your life, was there ever a time when you said, I'm not going to be like my mom, I'm not going to be like my dad? And then, as you grew older, and it didn't take me until I'm 63, but when I was in my younger years, I said, wait a minute, I sound like my dad. I look like my mom. I'm doing the very things that I thought I wasn't ever going to do that I had a difficulty with. What's up with this? Well, children have a tendency to grow into the people that they model, that model for them. And here it's saying this, that if we are children of the Most High God, we are to act like the Most High God. We are to become like Him. We are to become like Him. So in verse 36 it says this, be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Am I to show mercy to, like other people show mercy to me? No, I am to be as compassionate in my life as God was compassionate to me, as He's modeled that for me. So, the question, the focus question is this. How do we do this? How do we become like the children of the Most High God? How do we have it even in our ability, our power to do that? The scripture has at least a small answer, and it's from Philippians chapter 2. And let's read this together in Philippians chapter 2. One more. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out His good purposes. Isn't that amazing? It's God who is there. And God is the one who enables us, one, to want it, and then to live it out. There were times when I wanted to be a professional baseball player, but that dream went by the wayside in Little League when I got hit for the first time by a fastball. And I could never, after that, I could never stay in the batter's box long enough when that ball was coming at me, which I thought it was, but it wasn't. Anyway. I wanted to do something, but I couldn't make myself actually live it out. Becoming like Jesus demands of us, compels us to not only desire it in our head and desire it in our hearts that we want it, but we need to do those things to act out, to live it out, His good purposes. So when we find out about God's purpose for our life, God's purpose for the world, we can attach ourselves to that purpose and we can live it out, as it were. So my question, as I call, bring this to a close, is to ask you, which crowd are you submitting to? Sometimes you may find yourself standing in a crowd that asks questions that really you don't want an answer. We ask the kind of question that we think proves that we can stay where we are. But I hope we're not standing in that crowd too long. Here's the answer to that. Life is found when we listen to what God says and we become like Jesus. If you want to find significance in your life, if you want to find the answers to all of, as they say, life's perplexing questions, we need to listen to what God is saying. And then we need to become like Jesus. And it doesn't happen overnight. You won't have all your questions answered overnight. my wife and I, and I shared this, I believe, about 35 years ago, thereabouts, when our son Jonathan was born. He was born with a hypoplastic left ventricle, which was at that time non-operable. And so 3 days after he was born, Jonathan died. And it raised a ton of questions. Where are you, God? Why did you? And there were questions that came that and people would ask, well, why did God allow this to happen? What were we to learn about this? How were we to handle it? How were we to go on? And some of those deep heart questions remain. We were given this peace, as it were, and we describe it as carrying life's unanswered questions. It's important that we ask the questions. God wants us to ask the questions. He wants us to explore with Him and to discover with Him the significance of life and ask all those things. There is no question too dumb, too stupid, too simple, too hard, whatever, too complex to ask God. You ask everything. But there may be a time when you come so that life is lived outside of the chaos when you have to carry some unanswered questions. Mary and I truly believe that on the other side of this life, God will explain it all. We will know all the reasons to why. But it was important for us to learn to trust and to have faith, even though we carry those questions.